Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital, where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Giroux in their passion to help you live your best life. We hope you enjoy today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Today, we're going to worship Jesus together. Come on.
Rise, my soul. Remember this. He took my sin and he buried it. No longer Jesus lives.
people come together. Strangers need and blood is one. Children of generation of every nation of kingdom come. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. difference in his blood. Jesus, light of heaven, friend forever, his kingdom come.
Amen. We know that each of us plays such an important role in building God's church. We serve such a generous God, and in that same vein, let's transition into a time of giving. We thank you for your faithfulness throughout the season. We know that the church has not been put on pause or on hold. If anything, the mission is critical, and you've been stepping up to the plate. So thank you for your generosity.
In today's news, you'll see that we're highlighting Convoy of Hope. And throughout the year, we've partnered with many organizations. And in this time and in this season, we're partnering with organizations that are helping those that are most vulnerable. So you can see all of our partners on our Heights Foundation page on our website. And for those of you who have set up automated giving, thank you. It's easy, it's convenient. You can set it up on any day of the week and as frequently as you'd like. You could set it up on our website today or on the giving page. And you can see all the ways to give right below.
So as you prepare your gift, check out the news. And when we come back, we're going to listen to a powerful message by one of the greatest fathers that we know, Pastor Michael Jarreau. We'll see you in just a few moments.
Your mobile phone is with you everywhere you go. And now we are too. We are excited to let you know that we have released our new church app. Our mobile app is loaded with the greatest resources to help you better connect with the church and ultimately with God. You can look up scriptures or listen to the Bible. We have a secure note-taking journal. You can look at all of our social media, and you can even give inside of the app. There are so many features that will help you stay up to date with everything we are doing here at the church. The beautiful part is that it's all in one simple place. Download it today in the iTunes or Android store and see how easy it is to stay connected.
Heart for the House is our once-a-year offering over and above our normal giving, where everyone in our church can play a significant role. Giving to Heart for the House is a sacred moment where we empower our church to do the extra things God has put on our heart. Throughout the year, we're showcasing some of our initiatives. This week's spotlight is Convoy of Hope, an organization with a driving passion to impact the world through children's feeding initiatives, community outreaches, and disaster response. Convoy of Hope's disaster services team is consistently among the first to respond to critical emergency situations by bringing help and hope to those who are impoverished, hungry, and hurting. Highly regarded for their strategic, scalable response and distribution model, Convoy of Hope utilizes 8 international warehouses, 4 domestic warehouses, a specialized disaster response fleet, and a highly trained team of staff and volunteers to respond to needs quickly and effectively. Each year, they serve millions of people affected by natural and man-made disasters. Citizen Heights, partner with us by giving to Heart for the House, and together we can make a big difference to help those most vulnerable. To find out more about all of our Heart for the House initiatives for 2020, check out the Heights Foundation page at citizenheights.com.
I just bought a new blindfold. I can't see myself wearing it. No? Okay. You're going.
All right.
All right, hit me.
Lately, I've been reading this book on anti-gravity. I can't put it down.
Okay, that was good. My wife said that quilts are better than duvets. I told her to be careful making blanket statements like that.
My wife says I have only two faults. I don't listen and something else. What did one dinosaur say to the other?
I don't know what.
Nothing. They're all dead.
That was a good one.
This graveyard looks overcrowded. People must be dying to get in.
Did you hear about the cheese factory explosion in France? All that was left was debris.
Good one, Nero. I used to hate facial hair, but then it grew on me.
My wife had a note on the fridge saying, "This isn't working, I'm leaving." What a lie. I opened the fridge door and it's working fine.
What do you call a crocodile that loves guacamole?
Tell me, Eric.
A guacadile.
Spring is here. I got so excited, I wet my plants.
About the man who fell into an upholstery machine.
No.
He's fully recovered.
Recovered.
Recovered, yes.
Upholstery. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? No? Let me tell you.
No.
Great food. No atmosphere.
What do you call an ugly dinosaur?
No, oh, I had something funny to say, but your punchline's probably worse, so I don't know what.
An eyesore.
My punchline was better.
What is it? What is it?
Your mom. What do you get, Eric? What do you get from a dwarf cow? Condensed milk. Let it out. Happy Father's Day, Eric.
Happy Father's Day to you, too. Are we supposed to shake hands now?
All right.
Yes! Finally!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to church. Welcome all the dads. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the men of the house. And I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to read three verses together. And while you turn there, I want to say I'm blessed to pastor a church where I'm surrounded by men who love the same Jesus I love. Jesus, he doesn't just choose perfect men or perfect dads. He doesn't choose perfect people. If he did, you and I would not be here. He chooses people who know their flaws and frailty, but still get up every day. And I want to celebrate and commend and salute every dad and every man for getting up and fighting to provide, fighting for your purity, fighting for your marriage, fighting for your kids, fighting for your wife and your family and your church. So I want to say we need you. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. And we love you, all the dads out there. And as I think about fatherhood, I look back on my pre-dad days, and it's a mystery of how I went from that guy to this guy, from there to here. Dads, some of you dads might know what I'm talking about because I don't know when it happened, but it happened.
Something fundamental and foundational happened. And dad jokes, as we just saw, dad jokes are evidence of this transformation. That's really what dad jokes are all about. We used to be funny. Seriously funny. And now we know we're getting a little older. We've lost a step or two. We know there's some thinning up on top, and our comebacks and our lingo are getting old. We have no new material. All my material, my wife has heard every line I have. And we even know our jokes aren't particularly funny, but we're going to tell them anyway, because we're going to go all the way with this dad thing. We used to be over there, but now we're dads. Now we're over here. And those are two totally different mindsets. Dad jokes, you know, what they say to society is that we're not here to be hip dad. We're not here to be a cool dad. We used to be cool. That was overrated. We're here to be the dad who wears the black socks with the sandals. We're here to be the dad that asks your friend not to park in our driveway, right? We're here to yell, make good choices as you get into the limo to go to prom. And we're here to sing Katy Perry tunes at the top of our lungs to bring you inspiration in that next public moment where you need that extra encouragement. You know, we're still going to try to be cool in front of your friends, but only because it's a very uncool dad thing to do. And we're here for it. That's what dad jokes are about. Dad jokes are an institution. It's really an expression that says our before life is over and we're all in and going all the way with this dad thing. And I want to talk to all the dads, but I want to talk to the men. I want to talk to the ladies. I want to talk to all of us today. And I want to share something God put on my heart out of Matthew chapter 26. I know you've had a moment to find your way there. I want to read just three verses and lay this as a foundation and a backdrop. And let's jump right in at verse 36. It says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And then he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, I want to talk to you today on the topic of there to hear. The name of our discussion today is simply there to hear. And we just read in this text, Jesus says, stay here and I'm going to go over and pray over there. And there's two kinds of followers of Jesus. We see it right here in the text. Those who get near to his burden and those who get with him to feel and carry his burden. And these are the disciples. And we see in the text today that he says there's some that will come near, but there's some that will carry and go with me. And Jesus in this moment was at the most critical moment of his earthly ministry. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a Thursday night. He's got his disciples with him. He's preparing himself for what will happen over the next 12 hours, a sham of a trial, lying witnesses testifying against him, beaten beyond recognition, humiliation of marching across through crowded streets as if he's some criminal, and then a slow, painful death only to be buried in a borrowed tomb. In the text, he's battling like all of us battle. He's battling with the decision to carry the burden of God to completion or go with the will of his flesh. And that's the battle, flesh versus spirit. Flesh versus spirit. It's the thing we all struggle with every day, flesh versus spirit. And what I want for me versus what God wants for me, that's the battle. And we all deal with it. And in this garden, Jesus is at the critical moment of decision. And Jesus is here for this. Imagine Jesus on this night in this garden, and his whole life has been about this moment, and everything comes to this dramatic conclusion. 30 years of preparation, 3 years of public ministry, for 3 hours of purpose, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour when he hung on the cross, and his whole life led him to this moment. He had to be a stronger man than any man had ever been, to be the propitiation of and the payment of our sins, to go all the way, to get us from there to here. There, separated by our sin from God, to hear. In the garden, we see a very human Jesus, and he's battling between the will of his flesh and the will of his Father. And Jesus has done something profound. We just read it in verse 37. It says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. That's James and John. It says, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. He has the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane with him, but he takes Peter, James, and John further. And there's this inner circle of support. And if you're going to go from there to here, you're going to need to find some people in your life that you can't lie to. You're going to have to find some people in your life who don't give up on you. You're going to have to find some people in your life who are still encouraging, even though you're still struggling. Find some people who believe you're still chosen, even if you're still broken. See, we need to surround ourselves with people who remind us of who we are in God. We all know what it is to need that. Lately, it might feel like it's in short supply. People you've loved for decades turn on you in a moment. People you've walked with through all of their stuff maybe turn and stab you in the back. And it's tough to guard your heart and keep your spirit sweet and keep your spirit clean when people disappoint you. But Jesus models something for us here. He has James and John. Think about who he picked to bring from here, from there to here. Jesus picks James and John. James and John, remember, wanted the thrones. They said, can we sit to the right and the left of you in your kingdom? Remember James and John who wanted to call down fire on people? And then he's got Peter who totally misses it. He's about to commit felony assault with a deadly weapon in just a few verses as he cuts off the ear of Malchus's servant. And then he's going to go on. He's just getting started. Peter's then going to go on to deny Jesus three times. And these are the people Jesus brings along. See, we're not here because we have it together. We're here because we need to get it together. And if we have to act and play and put on a show like we're already together, we're never going to heal. Flaws and scars and struggles, we're not hiding who we are or who we've been. We're becoming who we were always meant to be. And it happens because we're here. And we're here because Jesus said, come a little farther with me. I know God's calling you a little bit deeper right now. And Jesus is calling them and he's trying to get them from there to here. And that means we're in this together. The Peters and the James and the Johns, come on, we've flooded the range in the broad spectrum. And we have a society right now that needs to get from there to here. It's going to take you and I, and it's going to take us to be endued with the Spirit of God and guided and grounded in the Word of God and planted and rooted in the house of God. We have to be stronger than those who came before us if we're going to see it through. God's love for people will always yield something within you. It'll yield God's grace for people. God's love for people will always yield within you God's grace for people. Even people who fail you or frustrate you, annoy you, hurt you. Jesus surrounded himself with imperfect, fallible, disloyal men, yet they reminded him daily of his assignment. Understand this. Get this with me. Peter, James, and John. We always hear it in that order. Peter, James, and John. Always in that order. And every detail of this story speaks. Peter means Petros, piece of stone. To the Hebrew mind, tablet, law. James, his name means supplanter or replacement. So the tablet, the law, being replaced, and John means gift of God or grace of God. Their names together literally mean the law has been replaced by the grace, the very gift of God. Imperfections and incompletions in people's life that God has put in your life point you to your purpose. Jesus didn't leave them there. He loved them where they were and loved them to hear. And that's our assignment, find people that we can love to hear. Find people you can surround yourself that remind you of your God-given destiny when you think it's too hard to keep going. And then Jesus says something profound. In verse 38 and 39, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, it's a vulnerable moment. Jesus shows us his struggle. Jesus knew he was about to be tortured and put to death. And sure, he brought Peter, James, and John along, but even they weren't enough. He needed his Father. He needed his Father. You need your Father to get through this. Can I just encourage you right now? You need your Father to get through this. You need the presence of the one who made it all and sustains it all and knows it all. And that really brings us to our second idea today, and that is just we need to surround ourselves with the presence of God that reminds us of who we are in God. Jesus goes to the presence of God to remind himself of who he is and what his purpose is, the restoring and assuring presence of the fatherhood of God. Accept no substitutes. Come on, I want to talk to you dads for a minute. You matter. A father's love changes everything. Two things I know. Being a father is one of the most life-changing, God-blessing things you'll ever do. It's one of the most life-changing, God-blessing things you'll ever do. And the second thing is one of the most challenging, difficult things you'll ever do. It's a blessing, but it's hard. And no one gives you a book. And most of us either had no example or we had a bad example. I remember my father, the story of my father is simply this. He left the moment he found out my mother was pregnant for me. His last name was on my birth certificate, but he wasn't there when I arrived. Never met him, never talked with him. I was given one or two pictures of him when I turned 12 years old. So I'm looking at those photos saying, that's my dad, but what's that word even mean? What's a dad do? And when you're a man, you need a man to speak into your identity. And my mom is an amazing woman, one of the most amazing people I know on the planet. And then my stepfather adopted me, came into my life, adopted me, and I was blessed that by the age of 6, I had a model because I needed a man to tell me how to be a man, a dad to show me how to dad. And I want to speak to our dads for a minute. You're too important to do it wrong for another generation. You're too important to just let it slide. You're too important to not find another father who can help you learn how to father. You're not optional in the lives of your children. You need to keep speaking life because there's power in your words. You need to keep speaking purpose. There's power in your words. You need to keep speaking identity. There's power in your words. Get with your father. Get in his presence, your heavenly father. You can't afford to stay there. Your children and your wife and your family, they need you here. And if by chance your children don't live in your home, they still need you. It's amazing. You read the Old Testament, whatever the father said over his kids, that's what God did. The establishment of identity and destiny was found in the voice of fathers. Understand something, fathers. You've got the power and authority to declare who your children are. And we need some men to understand that God gave that to us. That's an assignment and responsibility we steward. And to stop giving our children to society and stop giving our kids to systems that don't love them. And Heather and I just have this thing where we don't let our kids just go to anybody's house. And we don't do sleepovers because the statistics are sobering. And we don't let our kids just go anywhere. We don't lend our kids to anyone who's not an extension of our value system. So fathers, being present because your presence matters. And Jesus, in this moment, finds his way to the presence of his father. And he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Translation, I don't want to do this. I don't want to carry this. You know what that tells me? When we read this about Jesus, it tells me I can be vulnerable and I can struggle in the presence of my father. He doesn't require perfect attendance. He doesn't require perfect performance. And this is the only time recorded in the Bible where Jesus has this conversation, where Jesus negotiates this conflict, because the Bible tells us that he's walked everything that you and I will ever walk, and he can identify with what we're going through. Jesus asked the Father 3 times, can this cup pass from me? Can this cup pass from me? Can this cup pass from me? Was it the physical pain of the cross? No. Was it the psychological or social shame of the cross? I don't think so. When we remember the spiritual cost of the cross, we get a clue. Because Jesus takes sin on himself. Remember, God is too holy to fellowship with sin. So Jesus knew it would be the only time he'd be cut off from the presence of his Father. Jesus had always known full fellowship with the Father, full connection with the Father. Now we understand why Jesus cried out in verse 46, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the first separation he had ever known from his Father's presence. And the Father's loving response for all of humanity, it was either Jesus for 3 days or all of mankind for all of eternity to know that separation. That was the cost for you and I to go from there to here. Jesus said, I'll go, I'll take your place. And Jesus didn't just die for you, he died as you. And that's a love that gets me from there to here. Every detail of the scene speaks to us and is designed to get to us. Even the backdrop of this olive garden where there's crushing of grapes, where you can be real and broken. And it's the Garden of Gethsemane. Why a garden? We lost dominion in the first garden. God gave it back to us in the second garden. We lost authority in the first garden. God gave it back to us in the second garden. The first Adam sinned, but the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit because he was in the presence of his Father and remained planted in the family. I'm telling you today, God has a moment for you to draw near to him in this moment. And I want to pray for you, because some of you are here today and you've been around church your whole life, but you're really thinking about what we're talking about today. Some of you might consider yourself a Christian, yet if you were honest, you'd admit maybe you've given up a little. Maybe the strain and the struggle between flesh and spirit. And God wants to carry that with you. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer right now. The Bible says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And maybe you've been reminded you need God's presence in your life. Maybe you've been reminded that you need to experience God's love to receive God's grace. I want to just pray with you right now. And I'm just going to ask for you to just take this holy moment. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand wherever you are. Pastor, you won't see us. That's okay. God sees you. And in this moment, your surrender to say, I need to get to the presence of my Father. I need to get back to that relationship with him. Jesus knew that separation and his soul cried out in that moment. How long has it been for you to live in that separation, to live in that isolation, wondering where you stand with God? On the count of three, you're just going to be bold and lift your hand. And by lifting your hand, you're saying, God, I need you in my life. God, I surrender my heart to you. God, I don't have all the answers. I don't understand all the nuances, but I know enough to know this. God created me. God loves me. And God has a purpose and a plan for me. And I want to put my life in that place, in the presence of God. The world around you could be burning and falling down, but this is the anchor of your soul, to know Jesus. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, we come to relationship with the Father. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today is your day. Two, you don't have to do anything to earn it. You just have to receive it as a free gift offered by God. Are you ready? One, two, three, hand in the air, heart surrendered. All of us together, pray this prayer with me nice and loud, whether it's the first time you've ever made this decision or it's a recommitment moment, because you know it's what you need. Say this after me. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. And I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I give you all that I was, all that I am, and all that I hope to be. I've been fatherless for some time. I put my hands in the heart of the Father who loves me, who has a plan for me, who wants to heal me, who wants to restore me. Now say this boldly, I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God's love for you is real. And when we draw near to God's love, you receive God's grace for others. And that's that second group of people I said that I was going to pray for. You're drawing closer to him right now, to the Father, because you're catching the Father's heart for the Father's creation. Listen, we don't live in a bubble. We understand what's going on in the streets of America right now. And I'm telling you, it's going to take the grace of God in you, the love of God for you, and then that patience that we receive for those around you. To be able to carry and not lose the battle between flesh and spirit, but to carry the burden, not just to sit near it and wish we could do more, but to go from there to here, to a place where we carry God's heart. I want to invite you right now, let's worship. Let's draw boldly to the throne of grace where we can receive the love of God as we worship together on this last song.
Desire a moment into your presence, Jesus. Just a moment in your presence. We desire you today. We surrender all to you. Hallelujah. presence. All noise dies down. Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. I can't miss a thing. Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. It's all I want is to live within your love, being done by who you are. My desire is to know. In your love and affection, it's the sweetest of all. Lord, I know my heart wants more. My heart wants something new, so I
to do it only.
desperate for your presence. Desperate for every word you say. Is all I want is to live within your love, being done by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper, Lord. I'll open up again, blow my fears into the wind. I am desperate for the touch of heaven.
If you made a decision today to say yes to Jesus, we want to tell you how easy it is to take your next steps. So don't let what God started today end today. Tell somebody, tell a friend, tell someone in the chat, or better yet, click the link and fill out a connection card so we can pray and celebrate with you.
That's right. The second thing you can do is get growing in God. And we do that by reading the Bible. Download the Citizen Heights app today and you'll find a copy of the Bible right there. We've made it super easy for you to access.
You're part of God's family, and there's a place for you here at Citizen Heights. So get involved, join a group, and continue to chat on CH Live.
Thank you for joining us today at Citizen Heights. Thank you for welcoming us into your home. Our pastors and hosts are on the chat right now, and they want to pray with you. Don't forget to join one of our citizen groups. You can join by clicking the link on the screen, on our website, or on the app. We love you. We love hearing the stories of what God is doing in your life, in the life of your neighbors, and in our city. Happy Father's Day to all our dads. Don't forget to call your dad, but don't ask for any money. We'll see you next week.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, bro.